Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I want to thank Michael for his support, and I'll be sending along access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. You can support the program at support.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode. This one is called The Lansing Fraud Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Hi, kiddo. Carter at Universal Adjustment.
Jim, how are you?
In a rush. I have to catch a plane to Tucson, Arizona.
Lucky you. Nice there this time of year.
No, listen. One of our brokers out there wrote a 50,000 straight life policy on a man named James Lansing. Lansing dropped dead 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And you'll never guess why.
I'll bite. Why?
Mr. Lansing starved to death.
What? With a 50,000...
Honest. He died of malnutrition. Got the coroner's report from Tucson right in my hand.
Well, if a man could buy a $50,000 policy, he ought to be able to buy himself a square meal.
Yeah. Johnny, flight 203 leaves at 10:45. You interested?
See you at the airport, Jim.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account, submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. Expense account item 1, $178.13. Cost a plane ticket, Hartford to Tucson. I shaved, showered, packed, and got out to the airport in time to have breakfast there. Jim Carter found me at the cashier's gate.
Hey, kiddo, you won't need a coat out there in that desert country.
As usual, Jim Carter was bigger than I thought. A man who stands 6'5" always is. A little ruddier, a little more blustery, but as efficient as ever.
I wrote a special delivery airmail to the insurance commission in Arizona this morning and explained it worldwide. They wrote the policy. We're holding up payment pending investigation.
Well, you could have told them that in person. We'll be out there as soon as the letter.
Well, I like to be formal on these things, especially with the state commission. Besides, I'd just as soon let them think we'll get around to a routine investigation later in a week or two.
In other words, you didn't tell anybody we're coming.
No, I didn't. Maybe we can work it better this way. Come on, lady, put the faster we move in and find out what's what and aren't bothered by anybody, the better off we'll be. Hey, give me your ticket, will you, Jim?
Yeah, sure.
Here you are, pal.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Johnny, that commission is going to get formal sooner or later and ask a lot of questions. Please. Mainly, why doesn't Worldwide honor the claim and pay off the beneficiary? So we'll have to skedaddle and get ourselves some good answers for him.
Yeah, sir. Hey. You may board the plane.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, pal.
Has anybody asked that question yet?
Well, the beneficiary, sure. James Lansing's sister, named Arlene Kennedy. She called the broker, and he referred her to claims division at Worldwide, and she called them long distance, and then they called me. I told him to put her off for a while, telling her it was just routine.
I see. Is she going to be tough?
Yeah, she could be, Johnny. I understand she has money of her own, and she has some influence in and around Tucson.
Oh, a lot of money?
Yeah, and trust. She's very comfortably fixed. Yeah, watch yourself, kiddo. This Mrs. Kennedy's pretty upset by the whole business. Can't blame her for that. James Lansing died on the street with no identification on him. By the time police found out who he was, a routine PM had already been performed to determine cause. You know, the county was going to bury this guy.
With $50,000 worth of insurance?
Yeah. Imagine that. Oh, excuse me, lady. Yeah, the postmortem never had happened unless Lansing dropped dead on a public street.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Though I requested the coroner's office in Tucson to hold the body until we can get something done.
Better fix your seatbelt, Jim.
Oh, yeah. First thing that occurred to me when I saw the PM findings was that it might not be James Lansing at all. Chronic heart condition, lung history, debility.
Doesn't sound like anybody worldwide would insure. Lansing took a physical before the policy was issued, didn't he?
Of course he did.
Say, have you got any material on his insurance examination?
Sure. Right here. Standard form. James Lansing was 100% okay when the policy was issued a couple of years ago.
Malnutrition, lung history, chronic heart. Huh. How could he get in that bad shape in 2 years?
That's a pretty good question, Johnny. I'll bet the answer is going to be great.
Yeah. What's the examining physician's name?
Dr. Carl Mayhood, Suite 932, Valley National Building, Tucson. He's our first job, Johnny. Hey, cute stewardess.
Yeah.
Well, back to business, kiddo.
It was a long trip, and I spent most of it going over the material in Jim Carter's briefcase. By the time we circled Tucson Airport at 4:45 in the afternoon, I had the facts pretty well in mind. Expense account item 2, $350, cab fare, Tucson Airport to the Pioneer Hotel. Jim Carter and I took adjoining rooms. I unpacked my clothes and got on the phone. A Sergeant Younger, Tucson Police, had made the DOA report on James Lansing. Yes, he was in. Yes, he'd be glad to talk to me. I left Jim Carter contacting the State Medical Board.
Glad to meet you, Mr. Dollar. How do you like Tucson?
Well, I've been here 2 hours, Sergeant. Weather's certainly nice.
About like this all through the winter months. It's a little warm in the summer, though. Yes, sir. This Lansing matter.
Yeah.
There isn't really much to tell you, Mr. Dollar. One of the cars answered the call. A man was found dead in the doorway of a jewelry store about 4 blocks down the street.
Uh-huh. This was day before yesterday, Sergeant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I went down to the scene and called the coroner's office. No identification on him, so we started to check him out. Took a little while. By the time we got a make on him, the coroner had already performed an autopsy.
Yeah, I understood that was about the way it was. Say, tell me, how did you identify him as Lansing?
One of his prints matched up on our cards here. Lansing was booked on a traffic beef a year ago. Otherwise, we'd still be trying to make him.
You're sure it's Lansing over in the morgue?
Yeah, we're sure. His sister came down, identified him. Name of Kennedy.
Yes. Well, what did Mrs. Kennedy have to say about the cause of death?
Nothing.
That malnutrition bit didn't do a thing for her,
huh? Not a thing, no, sir. We all thought Lansing was some sort of a transient. You know, just some old bum until we identified him.
Uh-huh. Any witnesses see him die?
No, we haven't found any. According to the coroner, he'd been dead an hour or so before anybody noticed him at all. Happened early in the morning.
I see. Say, did Lansing have any other business down here, other than that traffic violation?
Nope.
All right. Who do I have to see to get into the morgue?
Well, I'll phone the coroner for you. Won't be any trouble there. You want to go over now?
No, later on, maybe.
Dollar.
Yeah?
Death was from natural causes. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Then no matter how much you investigate, you people are going to have to pay off. Well, aren't you?
Maybe. We just have to be sure of one thing.
What's that?
That we insured the right man. By the time I finished with Sergeant Younger, it was 6 o'clock. I phoned the hotel, and Jim Carter, busy and efficient as always, had already gotten the vital statistics on Dr. Carl Mayhood. Northwestern University Medical School, 1940. Army Medical Corps, 1941 to 45. Dr. Mayhood's license to practice medicine in Arizona was issued in June of 1946. Married, 2 children, income and practice, according to Carter, was average. In person, Dr. Mayhood was a tall, blonde man
Dr.
in his
Mayhood.
Late 30s. He looked like he needed
hours,
a week's
yes.
rest and a few laughs.
Day and night. You have an alarm clock around the house, Mrs. Garland? Well, use that. Yes. Goodbye. Yes, sir?
Dr. Mayhood, my name's Johnny Dollar. I'm from Hartford. I represent the Adjustment Bureau handling a claim for worldwide insurance.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm an investigator.
So?
July 14th, 1953, you examined a man I'd like to get some information about.
I hope this won't take too long. Was it an insurance examination?
Yeah. The man's name was James Lansing. Do you happen to remember him?
James Lansing. No, I can't say that I do remember him, Mr. Dollar. What about him?
Well, I'd like to show you the standard examination form first. Is this your signature? Is that your signature, Doctor?
I suppose so, yes. I don't know.
Aren't you sure?
Well, how many people are certain of their signatures? It looks like my signature, Mr. Dollar. I can't say for sure if it is or isn't.
All right, what about these? Are these notations on the form in your handwriting?
I would think so. I don't know. It looks like my handwriting. I can't say.
According to this form, you gave Mr. Lansing a complete physical and pronounced him sound.
That's my job as a doctor on these insurance examinations. Anything unusual about that?
Mr. Lansing died 2 days ago, Doctor.
There's nothing unusual about that either. Did they send you all the way from Hartford so I could tell you to go back there and buy a book on heart disease? You can get them anywhere in the country. The simplest kind. Not even a doctor's book. Read it. Know it. And don't take up my valuable time. Now, let me have that.
Sure.
This patient Lansing was 41 years old. If he had no heart condition when I examined him 2 years ago, obviously he didn't, according to my findings, it's entirely reasonable to assume that he could have developed heart trouble in a very short while, even the day after I examined him. You people gauge those things in your premiums. Why do you bother me?
Are you finished?
Huh?
I take it you've had yourself a tough day, Doctor, and you don't want to be bothered with anybody. Now, look, I'm not here to bother you. Just from what's on this sheet and what's happened, you're in enough trouble to get yourself involved in a police investigation. I'm here to try to avoid all that, for you as well as me. And please don't lecture me on heart trouble, incidentally. We know the statistics by age, race, color, climate, state, religion, occupation, geographical area, and sex. It so happens we don't have to go into that, Doctor. James Lansing died of malnutrition. I said Lansing died of malnutrition.
I'll be doggone.
Coroner's report. Look for yourself.
Well, he should know.
Now, was it possible for you to overlook that condition at the time you examined Lansing?
If he'd been suffering from malnutrition in any degree, I would have discovered it and noted it.
According to the coroner's findings, James Lansing had been ill several years. The lung and heart condition existed at least 10 years. Can you explain how you were able to pronounce him physically fit, Doctor?
No, I can't.
Well, how about this, the angina condition?
I could have missed that, but it's unlikely with the degree of aggravation noted here on the coroner's report.
Have you had much experience reading chest x-rays, Doctor?
Of course.
The lesions reported by the coroner.
If there'd been any lesions on Lansing's chest, I would have reported them. I can't explain that either.
Well, now you understand why I'm here.
Certainly. I wish I could help you.
You can. Just let me see your file copy of the examination. And the x-ray you took at that time.
I'll have my nurse look them up. I don't keep files over a year old up here. We have a place down in the basement.
Okay.
I'll have them for you tomorrow.
What time tomorrow?
As soon as possible.
Like to have them first thing, Doctor.
You're kind of on me, aren't you?
That's right, Doctor. I'm kind of on you. Johnny Dollar.
Dr. Mayhood, I sent you a copy of Lansing's insurance examination this morning. Did you get it all right?
Yes, I did, Doctor. Thank you very much. Just looked it over.
And I take it everything's all right.
It's an exact duplicate of the one sent to the insurance company, and that part's okay. But it doesn't straighten out matters on this case.
I'm not concerned with your case particularly. I just hope you're through bothering me, Mr. Dollar.
Not quite.
Well, what does that mean?
I want another hour of your time, Doctor. I want you to go over to the coroner's office with me and look at Mr. Lansing's body.
What for?
To identify it. I've got to know if he's the man you examined or not. About an hour? Doctor, I can get an injunction.
All right.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, Tucson, Arizona. To the Universal Adjustment Bureau Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is a further accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Lansing fraud. Or was it a fraud? Expense account item 3, $10, loan. To Jim Carter, who was working with me on the case.
Thanks, buddy. I'll pay you back as soon as I can cash a check. Been so busy, I haven't had time. How's your doctor friend?
Well, I'm going to pick him up pretty soon and go over to the coroner's office. I want him to look at James Lansing and see if he's the same man he passed on the insurance examination 2 years ago. Either we insured the wrong man or Dr. Mayhood examined the wrong man. I don't know which. How have you done so far?
Well, besides what I told you yesterday about Dr. Mayhood?
Yeah.
Well, he's in healthy financial shape. Not good or bad, but, you know, healthy. His house halfway paid for. He owns one car outright and has 8 months to go on another one.
All of which doesn't mean anything if he phonied up an insurance examination.
Yeah, that's true, kiddo. That's true.
You know, I've been thinking. This would have worked, but James Lansing died on the street and the city performed an autopsy. Death, malnutrition. For a private physician, without an autopsy hanging over him, it could have been heart failure or most anything. Jim, I think we can do whatever we want around here. Step on anybody's toes, make any kind of noise we like. With this kind of situation to investigate, we don't have to be careful.
Easy, Johnny.
Lansing's body's in the morgue. There's no doubt that it's him, Exhibit A. But we aren't sure that his $50,000 policy was issued legitimately.
What are you getting to?
Call the State Insurance Commission, Jim. Let them know we think this is a bad one from top to bottom. Let them know that so that when the beneficiary starts to complain, they can tell her. It might scare her and whoever helped her into being more ridiculous than they've been already.
I'm going to hold off, Johnny.
Why?
Until I see how you and Dr. Mayhood make out at the morgue.
Expense account item 4, $2, cab fare. From my hotel to the Valley National Building. I picked up a scowling Dr. Mayhood, and we drove over to the coroner's office.
Mr. Dollar, this is a waste of your time and mine.
Sorry to inconvenience you, Doctor, but it's necessary.
I suppose so. And I suppose you have a job to do. But I have a job, too. Mr. Franks, the insurance broker, telephones me and says he's sending over a man for a physical. I do the physical. It's immaterial to me whether the man I examine is qualified for insurance or not. My job is to examine him. It's up to the insurance company to determine...
Yeah?
Johnny Dollar, this is Dr. Mayhood. I believe Sergeant Younger phoned.
Yeah, this way.
Dollar, it's up to the insurance company to do what they want to about the examination.
I understand all that, Doctor.
Then don't ignore it with your high-pressure tactics. Because examination is the only part I have to do with this business. I examined the man named James Lansing 2 years ago. You have a copy of my findings on that examination. I stand on them. And don't forget it.
I don't forget for 1 minute. Nor do I forget that what you found and what an autopsy surgeon found are completely different opinions on Lansing's physical condition.
Here we go, boys. There's the body.
Pull the sheet back, please.
Yeah.
Well, Doctor?
I called my lawyer after you called me today. I won't be intimidated, Mr. Dollar.
You aren't being intimidated, Doctor. You're being asked to cooperate.
Then maybe I don't like the way you ask for cooperation. My attorney will be in my office to represent me if you bother me any more about this.
You want to look at this body?
Your attorney can't refute what's already been established, Doctor. You pronounced James Lansing in good physical condition 2 years ago. An autopsy report shows that when he died 2 days ago, he was in very bad physical condition. So bad that 2 years ago he couldn't possibly have gone through a careful examination in your office without some of the symptoms being detected by you.
Where is your medical degree and what responsibility?
Oh, why don't you shut up and take a look and tell me if you've ever seen this man before?
I won't be spoken to that way.
Just a minute. I'll get an injunction and I'll charge malpractice and negligence if I have to.
Oh? On what grounds?
You're being stupid, Doctor. All you have to do is look at that corpse and tell me if he's the man you examined in your office 2 years ago. Well?
I don't know whether I've seen this man before or not.
Well, does he look familiar in any way?
I can't say. I might have examined this man. I don't know.
This is James Lansing, Doctor. The name you filled in on your physical examination for the insurance.
I know that.
Is this the man you examined?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It was 2 years ago. If I see a man for 3 hours in the course of a physical examination, am I expected to remember his face or any details about him 2 years later?
Is there any way you can determine whether or not this is the man you examined in your office?
No. Not that I know of. Is there any way you can determine it?
Believe me, Doctor, I can try. And I did try.
That afternoon, over the protests of Dr. Mayhood, I took all of the personnel connected with his office down to the morgue. A nurse, a receptionist, the x-ray technician, and a laboratory worker. None of them recognized the body of James Lansing. Expense account item 5, 10 cents, one phone call to Jim Carter, who'd spent the day preparing the necessary forms for the insurance commission and gathering data on Lansing's beneficiary.
You think Dr. Mayhood was in on it?
He's too mad, too belligerent, Jim.
You don't sound too sure.
Well, and maybe he just strikes me as an inept doctor. Well, let's say Mayhood's way down on my list. He examined a man who said he was James Lansing. It could have been anybody.
All right, we'll let it go that way for a while. Any ideas?
I'm on my way out to Lansing's old address. He had an apartment on the other side of town. I want to see how he's lived out there.
Still want me to go ahead with the insurance commission?
Yeah, go ahead. The manager at James Lansing's apartment house happened to be a woman named Anita Regan. She also happened to be willing to go back down to the coroner's office with me and view the mortal remains.
There you are.
Oh.
Have you ever seen this man before, Mrs. Regan?
Yes, yes, sir. That's Mr. Lansing, apartment 34.
You're positive?
Oh, yes. I've seen him every day for almost 2 years.
Okay. Want a smoke?
I want to get out of here.
Oh, sure.
I don't know why I'm acting this way. He doesn't look any different now than he's looked before. I've seen him stretched out like that 100 times.
What?
I mean, almost like that. Out, stony. Only I guess it's because I knew he was just drunk then, not dead.
Oh, I see.
He was crazy carrying on the way he did. Whew. Feels good to be out in the sunlight again.
Yeah.
I'll take that smoke now, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, sure.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Lansing used to get up around 10 every morning. He'd look awful, but he was always kind of nice, polite, you know. He'd be regular as clockwork. He'd walk past my door and tip his hat and go right down to the store and come back in a little while with a sack of groceries, a bottle of milk for his cat, some donuts for himself, and some booze.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd just lock himself up in his apartment and stay there all day, drinking.
Real alcoholic, huh?
Well, I'd say so. At least I wasn't surprised he starved to death. He can't live on whiskey. He was fried to the ears by noon every day, as long as I knew him.
Mr. Lansing didn't work then.
Well, I think he tried to sell real estate once, a long time ago.
Oh?
But how could he? I understand he was a retired engineer or something like that.
He pays rent?
Oh, yes. Always seemed to have enough money to get along.
Did he have any family, Mrs. Regan?
Well, I know he's got a sister living in town somewhere.
What about his friends?
He seemed to do all his drinking alone. Say, you're from the insurance company. You should know about his family.
Apparently, there are a lot of things we don't know.
Hmm?
A man named James Lansing moved into your apartment house 2 years ago. He didn't work, but he had enough money for his rent and his liquor. He also had enough money to buy some expensive insurance. Very expensive. Somehow, he passed an insurance examination, and then he suddenly died. No one, nothing. Just one beneficiary.
Mr. Dollar, you don't suppose somebody just gave him enough money to get along so he'd drink himself to death, do you?
That's one way of looking at it, Mrs. Regan.
Oh, that poor man. That poor, poor man.
I spent another hour with Mrs. Regan, gathering as much background as I could about the last 2 years of James Lansing's life. I also spoke to the janitor of the building and two of the tenants. They all verified the fact that Lansing had been drinking heavily for better than 18 months prior to his death. No one seemed to know why. Jim Carter had an answer.
I talked to our man in L.A., Johnny. Lansing lived there before he came to Tucson. He had several arrests for drunkenness, never married. One time he made his living as an engineer. Finally, he got fired for drinking on the job. Yeah, just one of those chronic cases. First arrest was back in 1939.
How's the beneficiary holding up?
The sister?
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. Kennedy was pretty upset when the insurance commission notified her we were in town making an investigation. Indignant, put out, things like that. She wanted to know how long it'd take. This all comes secondhand from the insurance commission. Johnny, a broker named Hillary Franks sold the policy.
What have you got on him?
Hillary Franks has represented Worldwide Insurance in this area for 17 years.
You're stalling, kiddo.
Sure I'm stalling, Jim. Because we're right down to the meat of it now, and it makes me sick. There's only one person who stood to benefit by having James Lansing insured. That's the beneficiary, his sister, Arlene Kennedy.
So?
Jim, you know as well as I do, somebody else had to take the physical examination in Dr. Mayhood's office. Someone had to help her arrange that. Someone had to help her get Lansing's signature on the policies. She couldn't have pulled it off by herself without gumming it up. She had to have expert help.
Hillary Franks.
Yeah, Hillary Franks. 17 years, broker, Worldwide Insurance Company.
Okay, the salesman's the first one to come under suspicion in a case like this, outside of the beneficiary, so let's get on with it.
All right, Jim. One thing.
What?
Hillary Franks knows we'll be looking at him, and he knows he's under suspicion.
That worry you?
A little bit. After 17 years in the business, he should also know where we're going to be before we get there. If he did something as dumb as try to work a $50,000 fraud on his own insurance company, he might do something even dumber. If so... Well, what's the 38, Jim?
Here. From now on, Johnny, you better carry this.
There'll be another intriguing episode of the Lansing fraud tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Well, tomorrow there's a bit of excitement when a pair of thieves start a falling out. Matter of fact, a lot of excitement. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Handing over a 38, that's a pretty dramatic way to bring a serial to an end. Or to a cliffhanger. And, we'll find out more of what will happen. This one feels a little bit like it's moving kind of slow, so it sounds like part three, we're going to see the pace pick up. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. Michael, who sent in the donation, said, Adam, just wanted to tell you how much I enjoy your podcast. I listen through iTunes and especially enjoy all of the Johnny Dollar episodes. My all-time favorite is Adventures of the Abbots and wish there had been more episodes available. As a part of the original TV generation in the 50s, I really find it interesting to connect to so many early TV actors with these programs in supporting roles. Thanks again. And from Mike in Ankeny, Iowa, well, thanks so much. And The Abbots definitely was a great series. And we have 16 episodes. I definitely wish there was more. If you've not listened to The Abbots, I encourage you to go to archives.greatdetectives.net. I don't have it updated with, I don't think I've got The Adventures of Frank Race in there, but most of the shows we've done throughout our history are there, and it's a great resource to be able to go back and listen to it. If you're coming in a little bit later program, because we only keep an archive about the last 200 or so shows. Well, that'll actually do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Moto, and join us on Wednesday as we continue the Lansing fraud matter. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and be sure and fill out our listener survey, survey.GreatDetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.